chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. We are looking at the many jobs that a pastor has, what his responsibilities are. And the first thing that we looked at is the first thing you got to look at, his relationship with the Word of God. A pastor does not rely on his degrees. He does not rely on a doctorate. He does not rely on anything that man would hold up high, unless those things signify his knowledge of the Word. He must know the Word. Don't tell me 12 steps on how to grow the church. Don't tell me how many books you've written. If you don't know the Word, you're not handling your first and foremost responsibility. Next, pastors are the guardians of the church. So often, as a pastor, you're looked at, or a preacher, you're looked at as a giant killjoy. Is he going to preach on my favorite thing to do? Is he going to say that this is wrong or that is wrong? And then people will look at that and they'll become very offended. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. It is the pastor's job to see what's wrong with it. It's his job to know the Scripture so well that he sees the dangers as they come in. Verse 28 here, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." We're going to skip down a little bit. "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." There are dangers out there. And the devil, he has been at work for a very long time. He has been creating devices and entertainments and philosophies, and he sprinkled them through every facet and every corner of our population. At this particular point, the devil doesn't have to work all that hard anymore. We've got the internet. Any sinful thought or process can be broadcast out there in milliseconds. We've got the music entertainment industry, things like that. Used to be if you wanted to hear music, you either had to make it yourself or you had to go down to town to where they were playing it in order to hear it. Now you've got people out there that can play it on their watch. Isn't that some? The devil's got ways of getting stuff to us. And what that does is it desensitizes us to sin. So it is the pastor's job to get up in the pulpit and nail on some specific sins. Why? Because they are tempting. Because we might not know why they're wrong. I've known a lot of people that do that. They would scoff at something a preacher would say. But the moment it was fully explained to them, they wanted to take it back. I didn't understand. I don't get it. And so often that is where the scoffer is. They might not fully understand. Now, you've got some scoffers, like the Book of Proverbs scoffers, who doesn't matter what good you bring to them, they're going to put it off. But there's some people that just scoff out of ignorance. So it's important for the pastor to preach and teach those things. Also, you've got a culture out there among modern-day Christianity that says, hey, these secular things, they're okay. These doctrines that are not normally accepted traditionally, they're okay. No, he must get up and he must warn of such things. He must point out the biblical error when he sees it. He must point out how something may or may not be conducive to a Christian. There's a lot of things that people get offended over in this. When a pastor talks about how to have a good relationship with God so it'll address some of your anxiety, some of your emotional distress, people sit there and say, well, only a therapist can do that. No, only God can do that. Therapists can talk you through some stuff. A therapist can get you some medication to balance some chemicals, but only God can bring you the real peace. Only comes from him, just like any other healing we might have. Only God can bring you real peace. You know, I'll sit there and I'll take my medications as my doctor prescribes them, but I know in the end, I'm relying on the hand of God to heal me. So I've got to turn to some of those things. I'll make it real uncomfortable for me talking about my diabetes. I don't want to get to the point where I take insulin. I don't want to get to the point. I want to get to the point to where I don't have to take any medication for it at all. I want to be fully in remission with the deal. Wouldn't that sound great? Now, here's what I got to do. I got to keep taking the medication, right? Well, yeah, I got to keep taking the medication. But ultimately, I got to turn to what God says and be a good steward of this body. Amen? I got to do what God tells me to do. And then what do I find? Then will come the day where the doctor looks at me and says, "All right, Mr. Rowland, you're good. Stop taking your medication. It's been a significant period of time. You've lost a significant amount of weight. Go ahead, you're free to go." And what will I have then? Peace. But it could only be found in what? Obedience to the Lord. Just like anything that could happen to you emotionally or physically, I must turn to the Lord. Now, listen, there's going to be some things, some illnesses, some things, there's just nothing you can do about it. Right? Other than you take the medication, you do your due diligence to with the doctor, you do all that. But there's not everything is a matter of obedience and it turns around. Some things ain't about obedience. Some things are just about the curse that lives in this world. But ultimately, what must I do? I must go to the Lord for all things. And here's the pastor warning. Hey, listen, you won't find permanent peace there. You'll find it here. You'll find it here. Don't go against your doctor, but don't forget the Lord in all things. So he has a charge to watch. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I'm going to pick on Caspian for a second. He got up this morning. Caspian loves to cook. And we love watching him cook. It's a good deal. It's a great thing. Well, he's got a rule. He can't cook unless one of us are in the area. Well, we were all getting ready or getting someone else ready this morning, and he decided he was going to go cook him some eggs. Nothing bad happened. Nothing. He knows what he's doing, but we like to be there just in case something goes sideways. Poor boy ain't going to know what to do. That's our job. And he looked. I reminded him, hey, you weren't supposed to do that. And I had to remind him, I'm not trying to stop you from growing up. I'm trying to make sure you do. Right? And that's the heart of a father. That is the heart of many a pastor. I'm not trying to make sure that your life is awful. I'm trying to make sure you have a life that God intended for you. I'm not trying to be this person who puts the big red stamp on everything that you find good and enjoyable. I'm here to make sure that your spirit is well. Why? Because that's the burden the Lord puts on a pastor's heart. The last thing I want is control. Last thing I want is to micromanage and control someone's life to the point to where I've got my hand in their doctors. I've got my hand in their radios. I don't want that. I don't want to know what you're doing at 7 o'clock p.m. unless you want me to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not my desire to control. It is my desire that you are safe. And I may not be very old in some of your eyes, but I'll tell you this, I have lived long enough to see the inherent dangers of some of these sins I'm talking about. I have seen what they do. And I've watched people succumb to them without even knowing that that's what's got a hold of them. When you have someone that cares for your soul, don't be like a teenager. Not no offense to any teenagers, but don't be like that person. Well, if mom and dad say it, I got to do the opposite. You were all there, I'm sure, right? You be home by 10, you walk in that door at 10:05 daring them to say something, right? I mean, come on, let's not be that way. Hey, maybe there is some merit to this. Maybe I ought to stop doing that. Maybe there is an issue here. We need to listen and hear from those that care for our souls. And many people, they put a lot of stock in preachers from far away, preachers that lie in the face of books. That's what he says. My pastor don't say that, but that's what he says. So he's got more of a following. He's got more of this. You know what he doesn't have that I have? He doesn't care for your soul. He doesn't know you. And if he did know you and he did love you, his only responsibility would be what mine is, and that is to preach the word of God. The Lord says it's wrong, not me. I don't pick these things. I don't get to decide what's right or wrong. I'm going to decide what's going to build you up spiritually and what's going to tear you down. The Bible does. It is my job to interject that into everything we do, to be about that in everything we do. Proverbs 27, verse 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. I knew this lady. She absolutely loved the idea of having a horse, just dreamed every day of her life of having a horse. The problem is she wasn't all that good at chores. You following me on this? They weren't very good at chores. So I go by and I visit one day, and you could barely walk through the barn. How the horse got out, I don't know. There was just piles and piles of waste and old food bags and compromised food. And you looked inside the water tub, and it was just a disgraceful sight. They liked the idea of having a horse, but they didn't like the idea of responsibility. You following me? I know some men who love the idea of being a pastor, but they don't want to care for the flock. I don't want to preach the gospel, the good food to them. I want to preach to them things they like. I don't want to put the effort in. I want to do something simple. I heard a preacher give an illustration of a church, and they were having they're having songs. And they would have specials come up, and they would get all emotional, and somewhere towards that fourth or fifth song, they'd be hugging on each other and loving on each other and getting all excited, and they would never get to the preaching because they were having such an impactful, emotional worship service. It went on for months, just like that. And the pastor sat in the back, and the song, praise, worship song, whatever they were, got up and they were singing and whatever, and people were getting emotional, and he just sat in the back, never having to write a sermon for months, but everybody was having a good time. That's not caring for the flock. That's not caring for them. Danielle took her trip out. She took Melody out yesterday with her mom, and then they go and they see the Nutcracker every year. Okay. So you know what I did? I woke the boys up early, and I gave them Oreo cookies for breakfast. And then for lunch, we had ice cream, followed up with some pizza and hot dogs. No, I didn't do that. Why? Because Gideon's a tattletale. But other than that, it's not good for him. It's not good for him, is it? And that's what so many preachers are doing this morning, or later this afternoon, depending how lazy they've gotten. Well, what do people want to hear? Listen, I want you to want to hear the truth. That's what you ought to want. Preacher, tell me like it is. Don't sugarcoat it. I don't play around. Right? We ought to have that care, have that concern. Be willing to put the effort in. There have been things I've preached on, folks, I've white-knuckled my way through because I knew that it corresponded with something that was going on. But because I committed to a series, I had no choice. Normally comes on a Wednesday night when I threw that dart the first Wednesday I got here. This is what we would do. And sometimes I've run right over sensitive topics. Don't think for a second I'm up here feeling good about it laughing. Had to be done. Man, I would have given anything for the Holy Spirit to give me a pass on it. There have been times when I've gotten ready to get up and preach a sermon, and maybe that night, the night before, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me and I got to change. I would have given anything for the Holy Spirit just to come to me with anything else. And there have been moments where I go to preach something, somebody will come up to me that morning and say, hey, there's this, or I'll be preparing something for weeks. And something will happen the week prior to me preaching it. And I go, well, maybe I should hold off. I don't get that option. And you shouldn't want me to take that option. Say, Pastor, if you found me sideways on a thing, Pastor, if you're sideways on a thing, how about that? What if I skipped over the things that I'd be as guilty of? Well, I wouldn't preach at all. I'd feel so guilty over every little thing, I wouldn't preach at all. No, we must care for the state of the people. And the estate we are is sinners, doing our best to please God. And that's what we ought to speak to. How can I be less sinful? How can I please God more? That's the job of the pastor. He has the reason or the excuse to watch. Acts 20, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That's been going on for a while, folks. That's been going on for a while. Man, you sit there and... I remember I worked so hard trying to build that van route at Flat Rock to get kids on it. And I'd make those phone calls or I'd make those visits to their door. Hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. I'd always have little stickers for the younger kids and hi, how you doing to mom and dad. If I hadn't met the mom and dad before, I always showed up with them little Timbits, those little tiny donuts. Just showed up, here you go. Never missing one or two. They were always all there. Promise. There you go. And you'd care for them and you'd pray for them and you'd watch over them. But because the non-denominational down the street is having some kind of competition for a bicycle, they're gone. And you go back to that house. Well, remember back when you told me that you liked us better than the other churches because we preach the Bible? Well, yeah, but you got to understand. You know what? People keep telling me I got to understand why people leave the truth and go after relaxation, but I don't get it. I get that it's easier. But maybe it's just the way I was raised. Maybe I was raised at the wrong time, but I was never taught that just because something's easier means it's moral. Just because something's easier means it's better. And don't get me wrong, I like a tool that speeds things up and gets things done. There's a difference between efficiency and laziness. I've never understood the profit behind that. Well, we put video games in the Sunday schools, and we take ungodly songs, and we put godly lyrics to them, and we teach it to the kids, and they just eat it up. But what are you teaching them? Well, we try not to put too much effort on that because it can be very polarizing. You're letting them die. Spiritually, they're suffering. If they're saved at all, you are letting them fall comatose. It is a dangerous thing. And there are people out there willing to do so they can rack a number on the board. So whether that number is how many people are there or how much money is given, they don't care. As long as they can sit there and say, look at the state of the union, look at what we've done, look at the great things. They are grievous wolves willing to tell you whatever you'd listen to. Even the Catholic Church, the Pope met with some cardinals. And I'm going to have to double check this. Don't take me a salad here. It might have been, you know how sometimes you get these joke news sites. I saw the name, but I didn't look in to see if it was a joke. But it was the Pope meeting up with some of the leaders, trying to tell him that there should be less masculinity within the church. Why? What does that even mean? Less men? Should we come out and say that one of the disciples, one of the apostles, were transgender or female or this or that? Should we do that? Is that what we're going towards? We're even the most rich and stable and most well-populated of the cults out there is sitting there saying, hey, let's go the way of the world just a little bit more. Not that they've ever been strangers to that. That's how they've made up most of their stuff, is becoming just a little bit more like the world. But I sat there, I couldn't tell if that was real or a joke website. That's where we are. That's where we are. And don't tell me the Southern Baptists ain't doing it too. Don't tell me that we don't have people among our ranks that might be doing it just a little bit. No, we need to watch for the grievous wolves. Because they don't come in like wolves. They don't announce themselves. They're sneaky. They'll come in, they'll grab a hold of a person, they'll mess with their mind, they'll shake things up. Not in that we reveal to them things that are, how do I put it? It's not about thought control on our side. Well, it'll open their eyes and they'll see, yeah, it'll open your eyes as well as it opened up the eyes of Adam and Eve. You'll know how to do something you wish you didn't. You'll know how to do something you wish you didn't. Because when it comes down to you standing before the Lord, that's what's going to matter. That's what's going to matter. Right? So what must we do is watch for these grievous wolves. Titus 1 verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, specifically they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Well, how long have we had people among Christians just in it for the money? About that long. about that long. And before that, if you want to talk about just following God in general, people have always tried to make money in the realm of religion. Why do you think Joel Ovaltine's doing the stuff that he's doing? You think he cares about what he's saying? No. He will say what will keep him popular. Ask him about hardline Bible doctrine. I've seen people do it. It's a joke. It's almost like remember when you were a kid, you had that balloon punch bag thing, and you bopped it, a big old clown face, and you bopped it, and it fell, and it came back up, and you bopped it, and it fell, and it came back up. That's what asking one of these clowns, anything of deep theological, and forgive me for being so tough on it, but that's how I feel. I think God's going to be tougher than I am on it. But what do you think about the King James Bible? Burn. What do you think about pastors needing to be men? Burn. They come back up with a million-dollar smile. And I got nothing of substance to say, just a jingling sound, just a tickling of the ears. No, we need to watch out for these guys. I hope I've never offended anybody. Not when I talk bad about some of these false teachers, not because I'm afraid to offend you on it, but that you would never hold to some of these false teachers enough to be offended. I should be able to rip on these guys who are vainly. I ought to be able to call them wolves. You should see what Jesus called the people of his day. They were making money off of God's people. Called them serpents. Called them hypocrites. Not in the way like you and I are a hypocrite, where we're trying but we're failing. But they wanted to say one thing so they would look good, even though they could purposely do another. Right? He had an anger about him. We need to be able to call them out as they are. Hey, that's a wolf. Are you sure that's a wolf? That could just be a long-tailed sheep. I don't know. Maybe that's the way sheep are supposed to look. Maybe that's why we like him so much, because he looks so different. There's a reason why people preach different than what the Bible says. Mostly it's for money. Mostly it's for interest. Mostly it's for shock value. So there's a reason why preachers and pastors must watch. There's a reason for it. Pastors are the protective umbrella under which a church is kept safe from spiritual danger. And any pastor who's afraid to sound the alarm is not fit for office. You are worth more to God than anything else on earth. And a pastor ought to recognize that when it comes down to his leadership in the church. That what he stands guard of isn't his own, but the Lord's. He will give an account for the warnings he let go and for the shenanigans he allowed to happen. He must not be afraid to speak. There are some specifically expressed duties that a pastor must do. Oftentimes written within the bylaws of the church, but my personal opinion, you don't need a lot of bylaws. You just need to know what the Word of God says. Number one, pastors must have full liberty to choose the means and methods by which they exercise their ministry. When it comes down to the preaching services, he ought to be able to give them some say. Hey, we're going to do two verses or two songs, and then we're going to do this, and then we'll do. He can do that. Hey, in the morning, like me, I like to set my schedule. In the morning, I like to give those things over to the Lord, and then I'll come on by and I'll start doing stuff that I've got to do. That's depending on the day, depends on when I get here or get to the hospital, or get to wherever I need to be. But I set those things. Why? Because the Lord gives me a priority here, and there's things that I know that need to be taken care of, that maybe someone just walking into church at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, where is he? Well, maybe he's over at the hospital. Maybe he's praying. Maybe he had a doctor's appointment. So he ought to be able to set his schedule, so to say. And I cannot express enough gratitude towards this church for allowing me to be full-time in that way, and that I can do that. You know, sometimes I'll be here late at night, and that needs to be okay. That's just what we've got a lot of people sick. We got some people injured. The pastor's going to be in the church late at night. His heart's going to be wrapped up in it. That's just, doesn't matter who you've got up here. In the end, he's going to be up here at night. He needs to be able to get, well, pastor, we don't want anybody up here past 7 o'clock. Not always the way it's going to work. Not always the way it's going to be. He needs to have free reign in what that ministry day looks like. He needs to be able to be at work and do things. Sometimes it takes some finagling and some finesse to get the things done that he needs to get done, and he needs the liberty to be able to do it, provided he's doing it provided he's doing it. Pastors are responsible to preach the gospel regularly in the church's meetings and must be given the liberty to preach and teach the whole counsel of the Word of God as the Lord leads them. Now, what does that mean? Gospel. Preach the gospel. It also means that the church should not dictate to the pastor what he does preach, within reason of its scriptural. That one never goes away. That doesn't belong to the church. It doesn't belong to the pastor. That's thus saith the Lord. He preaches the scriptures only. He must be doctrinally accurate. If not, somebody needs to address it. We're not leaving that. The point is, pastor, we don't want you to preach on money anymore. Listen, I don't want to preach on money anymore either. It looks like we're both miserable. Pastor, we don't want you preaching on that sin anymore. It's driving too many people away. Pastor, I brought my relatives last week, and you preached on this thing that made them real comfortable. I think we've got visitors, you shouldn't preach that way. Well, I love to hear that you... I'm saying editorially. I'm not picking on anybody who knows he's ever done this to me. But in that particular moment, I'd probably want to respond something along the lines of, well, it's good to see that you're thinking, but you can't think like that. He needs to be given liberty, because for the most part, it's not even him deciding. If he's in tune with the Holy Spirit, he's going where the Holy Spirit wants him to go, and you ought to want the same. All appointments and arrangements for public worship and Bible study, including time and place and the use of the property belonging to the church, should be under the control and direction of the pastor. Hey, we want to get some of the ladies together, and we want to have a small Bible study. You go to the pastor first. And if he, in asking questions over the engagement of it, finds out that we got some bad stuff going on, and he says no, you need to respect that. Yeah. Well, fine. Well, we'll just take it on over to the Denny's. We don't have a Denny's around here. Sorry. We'll take it on over to the restaurant. We'll take it on over to the house, and I'll be able to teach and whatever I want to do over there at the house. Remember, the church ain't the building; it's the congregation. And it ain't the pastor who's going to have to answer for what you just did. If there's cause for alarm, I'm going to hit the alarm. If there's a reason to pause so I can ask more questions, we should pause so I can ask more questions. Right? And it's again, not something I've ever had to deal with here, but there shouldn't be extracurricular studies like that. Now, two people want to get together and they want to share a word of prayer and share the word together, have some devotions together. That's one thing. But the preaching and the teaching of this church falls under my responsibility, and you got to let me be a part of it. You got to let me make the call there. When we sit there and said, hey, listen, on Fridays, well, we're going to have our devotions on Friday morning. That's something a pastor ought to be able to do. And I've seen pastors do that before and nobody showed up. And they closed it up. Thank you so much for showing up to that. I know not everybody can make it every week. I'm not trying to guilt anybody into this or that. Most folks are working. Some folks, you're there 1 week, you're missing for a few weeks. That's what it's there for. That's no big deal. But thank you for showing up when you can show up. Thank you for making sure I think I've only ever had one, maybe it was like two at the least. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for you guys for doing that. But he ought to be able to do things like that as the Lord leads him without having to run it through the deacon board to see if that's okay. One more and we'll finish up for next week. The pastor should enjoy the privilege of inviting speakers from within the membership or outside the church. And that's hard. It's hard. I've only been a pastor for 3 years, and I've already messed up. I didn't vet somebody all the way. And you believe you me, I'm waiting for that to not feel bad anymore. And it's just not going anywhere. I know. If I just researched a little bit more, of course, if I sit there and say, well, there's no way you would have had access to that information until such and such a time, that bothers me. Not that they came up and they preached heresy. But I'll tell you what, we've had heresy preached in this pulpit during one of our conferences, and I had to get up and I had to make a correction the next Sunday, and I felt bad about it. I hate recommending going to conferences and there's somebody there who preaches something that's heretical, because then I still have to come back and apologize for recommending the thing. There's some bad preaching out there. There's some good preaching by bad people. There's some people who are good people who preach good sermons but hold on to false doctrine with all good intentions in their heart. The pastor has to vet those things out. Well, hey, my cousin, he just surrendered to preach, so I invited him to come on up on Sunday to come preach. No. It's going to work. And I've even got this. We've had some young people come up or some younger preachers come up. One in particular just recently, I raked him over the coals. Next time you come to my church, you'd let me know so I can pressure you into preaching. You don't come up here without giving me the opportunity to throw you up in the pulpit. Don't you dare. But listen, it is our responsibility to make sure that what's going on behind this desk is right. And the pastor can't do that if he doesn't have the ability to say no. How can he make sure that things go well? And of course, he's going to make mistakes because not everybody is as forthcoming as they should be. I remember my pastor having to get up and have someone get down one day. Just had a missionary come and now my pastor, when we talk about Brother Hugin is no slouch. He is not a lazy man. He is a very thorough man. Guy misrepresented himself. Embarrassed the church, embarrassed himself. And then later when pastor went to go take him out to lunch, he embarrassed him there again. Rough. You got to be cautious. But the pastor can't be cautious if he's not allowed to say yes or no. He's got to be able to have the right to pick and to choose who comes behind there. And there's rules for it that he doesn't get to set. There's rules for it. And those are right here in the Word of God. If a man is not a biblical, does not have the biblical qualifications to be a preacher, he ought not be up in this pulpit. The end, right? All right, let's end there. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for the things that you teach us in your word. Lord, things that the pastor ought to do. And Father, even though Sunday after Sunday I'm up here sweating over this topic, Lord, it must be covered. It must be discussed. I will not be the last pastor here if your son Terry's is coming. So Father, we must all know. We must all have a firm grasp on what the responsibilities of the pastor are. And Father, I must be reminded, and the church must be reminded on a regular basis of these qualifications and these modes of operation. Because Father, they honor you. And we ought to seek and have the desire to honor you in the things that we do in your church. There's no other way. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.